This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:18 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Cam on the Evening Edition. And we're moving on to our next story, which is about developed and developing countries. So recently, the US removed China from its internal list of developing countries and upgraded it to a developed country. Now, whether or not China considers that upgrade something that's welcome is quite another thing, because this makes it easier for the US to investigate whether China is unfairly subsidizing exports for Chinese businesses and harming US industries.
The move was quite specific to China's position in terms of global trade. Earlier this month, the US trade representative changed its definition of developed countries to include those that contribute 0.5% or more to world trade. Previously, it was defined as countries who contributed 2% or more.
Yeah, and I think there might be some people who are surprised to hear that China was in the first place in the developing countries list, right? Which I guess calls to mind the fact that while we are very comfortable associating ourselves as a developing nation, we maybe don't spend a lot of time thinking about the actual differences in that in those definitions and what they mean for us in terms of global trade. So if you know what, I think we're just going to dive straight into hearing from the expert. So we're joined now by Dr. Mario Ruiz Estrada, Senior Research Fellow at the Faculty of Economics and Administration at UM. Dr. Mario's research actually focuses on economic and policy modelling. Firstly, thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening. Thank you for the invitation.
So let's start with the definition then. What determines whether a country is developed or developing, and who determines this?
Okay. Actually, we can classify developed and developing country according to the income. But not only income, also we need to include socioeconomic developments, style of life, prosperity, and life expectations. Actually, developing concepts is very deep, more than what people thinking that is income. Actually, it's no income. It includes so many issues inside when we differentiate between developed and developing country. And I want to give you a brief about this issue, theoretically, in this sense. Yeah. We can differentiate developed and developing country according to World Bank, income per capita. That is supposed when we divide the GDP, that is the gross development, the gross domestic product, that is the total output of commodities and services we produce in the country. And we divide, suppose, by the total population of the country. Then, to give you one simple example, we can have, for example, we have a big cake. In this cake, we call GDP, that is the gross domestic product. And we thinking that the total population is the guest. Suppose this indicator is going to show us how much individually we're going to get in the country. And we got, actually, the GDP per capita, we are using USA dollar to make one standard, and we can compare between countries and continents. Actually, economists, we are using always economic growth. Economic growth is we are comparing all the GDP rates and population growth. And we compare the last year and the present year, all these kind of changes in production. And for example, the World Bank, they have a classification we call high income, middle income, and low income. When we say high income, we are talking about developed country. And when we say middle income, is we are talking about developing countries. And low income, we are talking at least developed countries. That this is to make differentiation among these kind of countries, according to production and the final output of the country. But also we have the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, that they classify advanced economies. It's different classification to differentiate developed and developed. And we have United Nations, that they have we have this indicator we call Human Development Index. Human Development Index, we are including social indicators and economic indicators together. Actually, the World Bank income per capita is very weak because you can see, you cannot imagine that the country, everyone is going to get the same portion of the cake. In this case, we are talking GDP, for example. And we can see that exists always inequality of income into the country, and we have poverty. that this is a very deep issue. And we have another classification about Paris Club credit. That is a, this classification, not so many people know. It's about Paris Club, that actually they classify the countries to have a credit criteria to give money to countries in the long term. And additionally, I published many years ago a document I called Domestic Global Development. And I'm thinking that it's not enough economic and social issues. We need to include political and technological issues inside our analysis of development, developing and developed countries.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very interesting point. But I would ask, following on from that, then what is the purpose, though, of separating countries based on their level of development?
Actually, this differentiation is what we're trying to do is to classify countries, okay, to see the performance, the economic performance of each country, how they are doing in a period of time. In this case, we're using 1 year. Always economists, we are using 1 year. We are comparing year by year. And what we're trying to do is to see the performance, economic performance, social performance, in this year. Actually, this is the differentiation we are doing, actually, when we compare countries, developed countries and developed countries. And we're trying to see if developing countries can move to developed countries. That we have the case of Malaysia. Malaysia is a developing country, and we have one big issue that many people are thinking they know. It's about the income trap. Income trap is Malaysia stuck in one point that cannot move to developed country. And then this classification of developed and developing country can show me that the economic performance of Malaysia, for example, is not yet have the capability and not enough economic performance to move to developed countries.
So then when we look at the context of U.S. and China and how they've been dealing with one another, what does this upgrade from developing to developed mean for China in terms of how they will be dealt with or how trade will go?
Look, I want to clarify something, and this is very confused because many people are thinking only in trade, and it's not only trade. We need to include many factors because China is not only booming in sense of economic issues. Also, China improved a lot in the social, in the political, and the political, the corruption, the reduction of the corruption in China helps so much to China become a better country and move to a developed country. China, I had the opportunity to visit China 20 years ago, and the corruption was so horrible in all levels. I not tell you that no exists corruption in China, but China improved a lot compared with the last past 20 years. And I can tell you that now, when we say what China is moving from developing to developed country, it's because we can see changes in the politics, in the social, economic, and technological. China now is some of the most high countries in research and development. That this one, you need to see the context of development. Mm-hmm. You cannot see only trade. It's wrong when we're thinking, because now China is producing more. It's wrong. We need to have developing issues. We need to include a very complete package that we need to include social, economic, political, and technological issues together. We cannot separate.
Well, then I'm going to challenge you then to give us that complete package. And I'm afraid, Dr. Estrada, in 2 minutes, because that's all the time we have left, to speak about Malaysia. Malaysia's was supposed to hit developed nation status this year, 2020, and now it's being pushed back to 2030 or whenever. So you've mentioned it a little bit earlier. Is Malaysia on track to achieve developed nation statehood, and how?
Good question. Sorry to use Bahasa Malaysia. Wawasan Dua Ribu Dua Puluh, or Wawasan 2020, how we call it. I'm thinking that I think something is missing in this process of development of Malaysia. Because development, you need to think that when more developed is the country, we need to see that the advantage of everything around, and we can see that Wawasan 2020, now we're trying to explain about Wawasan 2030. The differences between developing and developed countries is no matter of money, consumption, savings, or how rich you are. The problem is, for me, development is a problem of mentality, attitude of the people in the society. Because the development is not how much money you carry in the pocket or how much wealth you have. It's issue about productivity. The productivity of Malaysia is quite low. Until we keep a low productivity, Malaysia cannot move to become a developed country. And one of the issues I want to include there is education. We have an education system only to memorize a basic knowledge and more based on results that generate people and thinkers or people who think more to have to generate creativity, imagination, cost opportunity, and hardworking mentality. I want to tell you something that I feel what was in 2020 the real change of Malaysia is how much punctual people learn to be in time in meetings. Time is money, money is time. Second, I feel that Malaysia need to follow rules. Look, any economy, it's no economic modeling or international trade. It's people follow rules. To let me how you people, for example, I can give you how people drive cars in the society. You can tell, I can tell you which kind of society you have. In other words, one more issue I want to tell you is the better uses of the people. I feel that people need to learn to have a framework of rules and increase the productivity. And to increase productivity, we are talking directly about education. We have here in Malaysia, we have many degrees. We have so many universities, but the research output is so poor and production of knowledge is very poor. Because what Malaysia needs for what was in 2020 is to prepare the young people, because it's no target, it's to prepare people for the right time and the right place.
Absolutely. Dr. Mario, thank you so much for weighing in today. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. That was Dr. Mario Ruiz Estrada, Senior Research Fellow at UM's Faculty of Economics and Administration, talking to us about developing and developed countries. And now we're headed to the news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.